in there. James and John, some of Jesus' closest friends, asked Jesus if they should ask their heavenly Father to torch the unwelcoming Samaritans. Outrageous, fairly funny, but extremely hopeful. Why hopeful? Because it shows that there's hope for us. We can be close to Jesus and still have crazy, mean, outrageous ideas. And we still have a Jesus, a Heavenly Father, a Spirit within us, if we've said yes to Christ, that will guide us along the way. That's awesome. That's awesome. No matter how stinking, as my dad sometimes says, no matter how stinking we can be, Jesus doesn't leave us. He's right there alongside us. And I love the way they depict, and again, this they're filling in a lot of blanks, a lot of lines, so don't think that that all came directly from Scripture, trying to get the heart of it. But the fact that James and John were responsive to Jesus in the way. They wanted to be forgiven. They were sorry. They wanted to change. And that's pretty cool. And I hope, I pray for all of us, myself included, with a big exclamation point. As Jesus speaks to us through his word, through the Spirit, through circumstances, through moments like this, that when we fall short, our response will be like James and John, that we'll actually listen and repent, which means change course. They said they would try. I hope you don't get defensive. I hope I don't get defensive and say, no, you don't understand. James and John could have said, you know, back 10 years ago when we were little boys, the Samaritans really were mean to me or did this to me, but they didn't. They owned it and they moved forward to it. So this morning we're continuing on with our series, Twisted. When God's word gets twisted and the storms that it creates in life, it can just be crazy for us. And we need to be ready to deal with those things. And there's ideas and there's concepts in Scripture that when we don't pay attention and we let this warped thinking get into our minds, it can be subtle, it can be slow, and when it touches down in our life full force, it causes all kinds of problems. And today's subject about prayer, that Jesus actually says, whatever you want, I can do anything for you. Everything, anything. And so that's what we're looking at today. So if you go to John 14, 12, there's a little rack Bible if you want to follow along. 737 is the page. You can take that Bible if you want a paper copy at home. It's not, you know, it's a decent one. And or you can use your electronic device and download something like YouVersion, which is free. Or you can use your message guide, which has the verses usually printed out in it for you. Just listen along, look along, read along as we look at this twisted idea that goes way too far and doesn't go far enough. So let's read this. Very truly I tell you, in other words, listen up, hear this. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to the Father, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, so you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Even torch the Samaritans. Well, not really. What does that mean? Anything. Anything. There are folks out there that will tell you if you say yes to Christ, and you're faithful to him, whatever that looks like, and you ask something, he will do whatever you say. Almost like a genie, rub the bottle the right way, and the genie will pop out and grant you your wish, anything. So if he doesn't, then there must be something wrong with you. And so some of us have kind of gotten that mind, especially when it's a noble prayer request. Someone being healed from cancer. Someone surviving a hurricane. Family members. My home. And yes, life does not consist of our things. Jesus says that. But when everything you have is gone, you're not saying that everything, my life consists of my stuff, but it does bring security to our lives. And all that has literally been washed away. And so someone prays, not my place, or prays not my place, and then's driving through the neighborhood and says their place is gone, but their neighbor's isn't. Sometimes we see that with the fires. A fire goes through a community, and a couple houses aren't even touched. It's like a mystery, and the other houses are gone. All the memories that were contained in the photographs and all that is gone. So again, how does this all work? So either I'm not right, or heaven forbid, we may not say it out loud, but God's not right. Because Jesus himself said, you may ask anything for me in my name and I will do it. And at least we would say this applies to the good things, the decent things. So, you know, that just resonates with us. What do we do with that? So this idea, this part of this praying and asking and expecting and how all that works comes to play in our relationship with God. And so that's why when we say yes to Christ, you're saying yes to forgiveness of sins. You're acknowledging the need for that. You're placing your trust in him. And you're also choosing the best you can to follow him. When we have the baptism in a couple weeks, if we have a few that are going to get baptized, again, you can go to that class, and if you choose not to be baptized, that's okay. So just because you go through that door, don't think I'm stuck now on the baptism track. It's an exploration time, so ask your questions. I don't get any extra points in heaven for how many people that we baptize. It's not a big chart up there on the refrigerator. So it's not about that. It's about you going public with your faith. So this idea, again, of being faithful to God and how that all plays out, how to know God and to grow in him, has this thing called spiritual disciplines, or we might say, habits. And we engage in spiritual disciplines because we need to, not necessarily because we want to. It's like exercising your soul. If you like to exercise, maybe hate is too strong a word, I really don't like you. I don't like exercising, and I don't like when you say, oh, I feel invigorated after I exercise. I'm like, yeah, right. I just feel tired. But spiritual disciplines like physical exercise, if you're a person like me that when I'm exercising, I'm doing it because I have to. I need to, not because I want to. And often our spiritual disciplines are like that. And there are a number of them. There are lots of them. There's books in the library about spiritual disciplines. You can do something on YouVersion, get a reading plan just to get an idea of these things that put you in God's path so you're more aware of him in your life so you can follow him. And a part of that is this idea of prayer. And so I just have a little cross stick here. It's pretty familiar just to get you thinking about this. H of habits would have time with God. That's prayer, that's Bible reading, but just spending time with him. And this isn't just the time, you know, on the fly. On the fly prayers are good. You're almost going to be in a car accident. You say, hey, Jesus, help me. That's good. But there also needs to be this moment where we pull ourselves aside and have like a focused conversation. It's like when you're talking to your spouse, when you're talking to your wife, and you're kind of thinking about something else, you're somewhere else, and you're having an on-the-fly conversation, and you're kind of listening, but kind of nod. It's, you know, it's that kind of thing. Every once in a while, you need to sit down and at least talk to your spouse for 10 minutes. You know, at least you need to do it. You know, need, with no other, you know, things going on around you or with any other relationship you're building. So you have time with God. On the fly, which is great when that's naturally built in like that, but there needs to be some time where you cut out some time and just focus in on Him. Then there's also this idea if you need accountability in your life, you just do. You do. Most of us need somebody that can speak into our lives and be accountable to them. It needs to be someone who's at least we have an even, you know, playing ground. It's not someone you have leverage over that holds you accountable because they really can't hold you accountable. It needs to be someone on the same playing field or someone just a little bit farther along that can speak into your lives. You know, again, you could read about this. There needs to be Bible intake. And we should be delighted that we have all kinds of ways to intake the scriptures. You can do that by listening, books on, MP, audio book, all this kind of stuff, watching a message, reading something, memorizing. There's all kinds of different ways to do that. A variety is good. And again, if you're hungry for this stuff, you'll find all the different ways that there are out there because you're passionate about figuring out how do I have these habits. I may not always desire, I may wake up in the morning and morning's your time and click my feet together, jump in the air and go, oh, it's Bible reading time. But, you know, you do it because you know you need this kind of exercise. And sometimes in the middle of the exercise, it actually is a good moment. Also, just involvement in a local group of Christ followers. We call that a church, an assembly, a group of people that are trying to follow Christ. And you get involved. And you get involved with all the messiness and the goodness and the fun, but you also get your toes stepped on. You step on some people's toes, and you work out what it means to be a Christ follower when somebody was mean to you. On purpose. What do you do with that? You figure that out. Involvement in a local group of Christ followers. And then also there's this idea of time, talents, treasure, a generous life. And, you know, we could spend an hour on each one of those. What do I do with my time? What do I do with my talents? What do I do with my treasure, my finances, a generous life? Those habits that... Again, they put you in the path of God when you're giving yourself away. Jesus gave his life away. We're supposed to be Christ followers. We're supposed to live like Jesus. Originally, Christian was little Christ followers, little Christians, little Christ. And it's that idea of doing what he did. And obviously, he was generous. And then there's also the idea of share your faith with actions and words. All of us should be engaged in sharing our faith, pointing to Christ. And sometimes that means words. A lot of that times means actions, but it should be an automatic rhythm. And I tell you, you want God to show up in your life, or be aware of God showing up in your life, you start sharing your faith and you'll be surprised. You'll have a great conversation, a great moment, and you go, wow, how did that happen? Because God's showing up in your life. You think your spiritual walk is in deficit, there isn't enough oomph in there. These habits, this is just a sampling, get you in the way so you experience that. So prayer is really important. One of the things we're doing here is we have a growth process. There's broken down into four components: follow, share, serve, mentor. And I think they're all 6 weeks or less, six sessions. And this is so, so, so important. I even found for myself, I went to Bible college, did a little graduate coursework, that going through these renewed some things that kind of had drifted off the center of my life. So no matter who you are, this is good. And then if you go through it and then bring somebody else through it, you're reminding yourselves. This has so much value, one-on-one in a little group. And I'll say it. It has so much value that, you know, for my schedule, it's pretty packed. I usually don't have an evening off where I'm not doing something. And if I do, it's not just kind of it happened. It's because we planned for it. But for me, this is so important that this Thursday, I'm starting off with four guys to go through follow. And I'll change my schedule. I'm like, I want to be a part of this with these guys and help them see this thing. So this is big deal stuff. So if you're on the receiving end, you ought to reorder your life. You ought to change things around so you can do this. If you're on the giving end, you ought to order your life so you can do this, because the growth process is important. And when you do that, your walk with God, it's not automatic, but your walk with God is just closer and tighter, and you're aware of him showing up. And that, again, affects our prayer life. And we're getting to this. We're moving our way to that opening passage that anything, everything Christ will do, what does that mean? And that anything, everything you ask for has to come out of a growing relationship with Christ. It doesn't mean your relationship with Christ is perfect, but it's growing. Where you're at, you're taking your next steps. So you could look at two lives, and one life is like rocket, you know, years ahead of you. You know, I go, man, I couldn't even, that guy is like, that woman, she, boy, they are like, you know, I can hear angels when they walk into a room because they're so, you know, into heaven and God and all that stuff. And I'm just down here, you know. It doesn't matter. Wherever your next step is, God shows up in a powerful way. And what the danger is for those who think they hear angels to themselves because they think they've made it, those people are in more danger than the person that's not hearing the angels. You get what I'm saying? So we're all growing. We're all moving. So this growth process, something like this, just keeps it refreshed, keeps us alive, so that when it comes to our prayer life, when it comes to our prayer life, we're going to see that our heart is in the right place, so that the chances are, the possibility of what you ask for, an expression of that being answered, is going to show up in your life. It's not because you're earning, like you're paying into this system where God listens to you a little bit more. It just means your heart's more aligned with him, and he's on the move on our planet. And because he's on the move on the planet, you want to be in on the move with him. And you want to be walking with him. You want to be able to read him. It's like people that have been good friends for a while and they can actually finish each other's sentences. They're just on the same page. So you and I, if we want to have our prayers answered this way, we need to be on the same side, same page as Jesus. So we need to be investing in our growth process. So prayer, what is prayer? And it's oversimplification, but this is what it is. It is communicating with God. And we're going to see that Jesus says, communicate with God, communicate with your Heavenly Father, talk with him, include him in your life, have that time on the fly where something crazy's happening and you're just praying, and have that time where you pull away and spend concrete time with him where it's just you and him and you're hearing his heart. Some of the things that can happen, again, in that first book of follow, we talk about prayer and what it looks like, and some of these ideas will come out of that. So you can be talking with God or listening to God. Sometimes when I'm praying and I keep a little writing, I don't actually write, I type on my computer, but I keep a little notepad kind of thing. And sometimes it means in that moment I send a text to a person. If you get a text at a weird time in the morning, early, that means I was probably praying and you came to mind and I typed you in there. That's not the nobility of me. It's God on the move. And if I didn't spend that time with God, even though I don't sometimes love doing it, that moment wouldn't have happened. I would have missed out on that. And then it's amazing because sometimes I'll text somebody and they are delighted to have heard from me, which then encourages me and goes, wow, you wanted me, God, to do that. It was just, or I needed that. So talking or listening, you know, having your heart energized by the Spirit being a part of your life because you've said yes to Christ, and a few moments we'll celebrate that. Bill will come up and lead us in communion. Can be out loud in your heart. This is a real stretch for me personally, but I should be praying more times out loud when I'm by myself. It might sound a little weird if someone was like walking by the house and what's Dave doing in there? Who's talking to? You know, but I find that my prayers are in better sentences. They're not all over the place when I speak out loud. So sometimes that's healthy, but again, it's out loud or in your heart. It could be requests for others or self. There's no designated prayer position. You know, you don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to get on your knees. There are sometimes I get on my knees because it's just the physical part of being showing humility before God. Sometimes I lift up my hands like this, and it's all symbolic. It has, there's not a right way, but it's just, again, to get me more in tune to what I'm doing. God made us this experienced base human being, so some of those things are helpful. So just this idea, and again, there are books and books. If you want to find out and learn more about praying, you can learn about it, but you also have got to get doing it. You've got to get involved with it. Pray diligently. Stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. So if you make your kids close their eyes around the table when they're praying, they might throw this verse out. The Bible says eyes wide open in gratitude, but you know what I mean. But it's just the idea of looking for what God's doing around you. But this idea is prayer ought to be a natural part of life. Pray without ceasing. And sometimes I heard that, especially as a young boy, and I go, does that mean I need to be praying like all the time? Especially when I was a young boy, you got to close your eyes. I'd be banging into things. You know, I'm riding my bike. I'm praying all the time. Smack. You know, no, that's not what it means. It means be in a place where your heart is ready to pray. And I love when that happens. You know, I'm getting ready to go into a meeting or getting ready to visit somebody or I see somebody or whatever, and I stop and I just ask the Lord to make me conscious of what he's doing in that moment. Sometimes you're going shopping, and I'll pray. I go, Lord, you know, who am I going to bump into today? And may I add value to our conversation? May it not just be about the weather. Nothing wrong about talking about the weather, but may if there's an opportunity for me to add value to that person, the person checking me out, whoever that may be, would I have eyes to see that? And that's just kind of like that pray without ceasing. Something's heavy on my heart. I naturally am inclined to talk with the Lord about it. It's not, I don't have to like gear up to pray because I'm just already warmed up and ready to go. The only wrong way is not to pray at all. And that's how you learn to pray, is by praying. I love going to the Saturday morning prayer group for the men because I listen to other people pray. I love hearing other voices besides myself. Some of you say, I do too, but no. I love hearing other voices, and I love hearing how other people approach their Heavenly Father. It's great they're doing that Saturday, 8 a.m., once a month, I think it is, right? I'm looking once a month. I didn't want to get it wrong. Ladies' prayer group. Again, it's not just you going to pray. You get to hear other people pray. I mean, if you come on church, you just hear me pray. You need to hear other people pray to learn how to pray. So this whole idea. So this idea of everything, anything. So what is a whatever? I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This idea of whatever. What is that? What does that mean? Does it mean any prayer request I have, any thought I have, all of a sudden God's going to take care of it? Again, it comes out of heart. It comes out of a relationship that's growing with God. And a big part of this is giving him glory. And every time, and I'm probably going to drive you nuts to this, but I'm reminding myself, glory, a part of glory is giving God glory, is people recognizing God. When we see creation and we go, wow, God made a beautiful sunset. That's recognizing God. That's giving him glory. So you and I can give him glory by the way we look at our world, by the way we look at our circumstances. We recognize God is in the details. And then also, every once in a while, you give him glory by people recognizing God in you. Not that you're a God, you're not a God, but God's work in you. They say, wow, why did Dave do that nice thing? It's certainly not because Dave's nice. It must be because God is doing something in his heart. Sometimes Cindy jokes, not joking too much about how bad I would be and all the mischief I'd get into, if I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. Anything I'm doing good is coming from him. That's recognizing him in my life, in your life. All of this activity down in the southern states, when people show up, there was this one story where 10 people pull out of a van and blah, 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 and the woman starts crying. I say, why are you crying? Or they assume that she was crying because she had lost everything. And she said, no, seeing you 10 people get out of the van gave me hope. And that changed my attitude, hope. And it was a group from a church, Samaritan's Purse kind of thing. And that gave her, that's giving God glory. That person's recognizing God hasn't forgotten them. God doesn't like to loosen up his glory. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or praise to idols. That's one thing he's not generous with. It's about him. It's about him. It's about God. Sometimes we say, well, that's not really fair. I'm like, what do you mean it's not really fair? He's God. He's the creator. It's his deal. He owns everything. It's his. It's not yours. It's not mine. Anything good in my life hasn't been created. Yes, I might have been, disciplined or whatever, but still, he gave me all the abilities. He gives me the breath I breathe. It's all him. And so he doesn't want you to steal, take his glory. Talked a little bit about that in our morning's men's group, robbing his glory. He doesn't want that. Give it to him, point to him. And he's not demanding, it's just a natural thing. Oh, where'd you get that? Oh, it's from my Heavenly Father. God did that in my life. It's not anything more than that. It's to point to God so he is recognized. What a great thing that you get to reflect God in your life. You're made in his image. You say yes to Christ. You say yes to Christ on a regular basis. And then people recognize him in you, and that draws them to him. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. Again, when we see what God is doing, because our relationship is growing with him, people get to see God in us, the Father in us, working through us, and that is an awesome thing to be a part of. So, what's all this mean, putting it together? First of all, we need to carry on the works of Jesus, going back to John 14, 12. We need to be doing what he does. It's expected. If you are a Christ follower, then you follow Christ. And if you follow Christ, then Christ is reflected in your life. You do his work. It's expected. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes, whoever, if you've said yes, if you believe, that's you. It's whoever believes in me will do the work. If, this will get me in trouble, but I want you to think about this. If Christ doesn't show up in your actions ever, if you never do the works, whatever those are, then maybe you've never really said yes to him. If you can live your life and it can be all about you and never about him, I would at least, and as we do communion and we do this self-examination, I'd want to slow back and say, have I really said yes to Christ? Because your eternity is at stake. If you're going just through the motions and it's not real, then you may not know him. You got to ask that. So when Bill talks about taking this in a worthy manner is, do I really know Jesus? So working like a Christian, living like a Christian, reflecting Jesus, that's not like Wow, good boy, you did the, no, it should be normal. Like sometimes when I was a kid growing up and I did a chore around the house, I wanted to get like a that a boy. Hey, I emptied the trash. My mother was a little nicer about this. My father, well, that's what you're supposed to do. If you live in this house, you empty the trash. That's your job. It's not a, you don't get a star on the refrigerator for that one. You just do it. You know, it's expected. So just serving the Lord, we shouldn't be going, oh, it's so great. No, you're supposed to just do that. It's not extra credit. It's normal stuff. Believes in me, does the work of Jesus. And you can see all these whoever's are, whoever believes in me shall never thirst. We like that, whoever. Whoever believes in me out of his heart, there'll be rivers of living water. We like that, whoever. Whoever believes in me, though he died, he shall live. Oh, we really like that one. Whoever believes in me will not remain in darkness. We believe, we love that, whoever. But do we love the other, whoever? They're all whoever's, and they're all out of John. That's us. And if you haven't said yes to Christ, you're free and clear of that. You don't have to do that. Doesn't have to be, you're not a whoever because you haven't believed yet. But for those of us who have believed, that's us. It's expected. It's also ordinary in a sense. So what are these works we're going to do? You know, what do we do? You know, there's just all kinds. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. This is like anticipation. It's not like, ooh, I got to serve the Lord. No, it's you get to. All right, I get to do that. Remember the first time you mowed the lawn? You couldn't wait. You could not. Oh, please let me mow. No. You know, you're not old enough. Oh, can I please mow the lawn? And then finally you get to mow the lawn. Within a second, why did I want to mow the lawn? No, you know, you just can't wait to do that. This is that. You can't wait to do it. And if you can't wait to get in on it, maybe you're not in on it. Everyone benefits. Do people benefit by you being in on it? All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit to all kinds of people. If you've said yes, you've got something. It's ordinary. You're the preacher. It's ordinary. You got the gift of changing diapers. That's great. They're all this. Well, diapers may be above the preaching thing. So you know, you're all in on it. It's all ordinary. It's not any better than anybody else. You just do who God has made you to be. You do you. But you don't sit on the sidelines. Love this verse from Ephesians. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. Remember that. It's not you've pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. God has done that. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. And in other translations, the work he's gotten us ready to do talks about the advance that he's pre-done it. He's pre-programmed it. He set it up in ages past for your life to intersect this moment in time where you get to do something good that reveals who God is. There's like this big sheet in heaven, and your life is just checking it off. Did I? And, oh, Dave missed that one. He was kind of just thinking about himself. Oh, he did it again. Oh, this time he was listening and he did it. Oh, that's great. There are all these things and they're like little presents wrapped up in heaven and you get to open them up every time you respond to what he wants you to do. And again, it's not a burden, it's a delight because you get to show who he's made you to be. And the other part of this is doing greater works than Jesus. Wow, that sounds pretty crazy. I'm going to do greater works than Jesus. See, in Acts 2, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. There's a great debate on this, but the idea is that you can be a part of influencing great numbers of people. You can have your hand in touching people's lives all around the world. When Jesus ascended to heaven, after he had done all his work, died on the cross, rose again, How many Christ followers were on the planet? Any ideas? 10,000, 20,000, 3, 5, 12? They say around 500. So after Christ left, Spirit comes, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions. It's changed the world. Most of the time for the benefit, but it's changed the world. The greater works than Jesus is that we are a part of a movement that has just exploded. It changes countless people from the inside out. That's the greater works. Talks about going and making disciples, followers of people. I like this translation. So go make followers of all people in the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, letting them go public, but making followers. Disciples sometimes to me sounds a little too academic. Followers are following. You want to be a follower who is a disciple. Sometimes a disciple, it's just we've let it become this formal thing. You just follow Christ. And anything for the work of Jesus fits into this. From now on, whatever you request along the lines for who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do it. When your will, your desire aligns with his, he does it. He shows up. You see it all the time if you're looking for it. Things happen. People's lives are changed. I think I mentioned this recently, but I'll say it again. Underneath this rug, there's people's names written on the floor of people that you wrote that you said, I would like them to come alive to Christ. There used to be a wall there, and we wrote names on that, made a heart, and smashed it down eventually so we could add 100 seats. Now we're talking about adding on to the building so there's just more space to serve people and to get people working and those kinds of things. And, it's just amazing. Those kinds of things. And all of a sudden, we go, how did that happen? It's because people prayed and God moved and it happened. So whatever you request in this way, I'll do it. So obviously then the question is, when you think of all this prayer, when you think of saying yes, when you think of basically having all this ability at your fingertips, not in ability doing things, but through prayer, growing in your faith so that your prayers are actually aligned with what God would have, what God wants to do, the question is that true of you? Where are you in all of this? Where's your relationship with Christ? Have you said yes to him? Please, it's not to fill a seat, it's to fill a heart. If you have not said yes to him, invited him into your life to follow him because of what he did for you on the cross, they rose again. Don't let another day go by. Don't sit in your seat. May this be, there's a verse that talks about the day of your salvation. May this be the day of your salvation. And when Bill goes through communion and explains it a little bit, it's just like, wow, what a great illustration that Jesus gave us about placing our trust in him. So if it's true of you, your relationships count when it comes to your prayer life. Your relationships count. This is why I'm urging you to pray for absolute everything, ranging from small to large, including everything you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. And it involves getting God's, it's relationally driven. First, obviously, with him, but then with others. We read on, and when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not asking. If you have anything against someone, forgive. Only then will your heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slates clean of sin. In other words, you want to get static off the line. You have to have relationships where you forgive, where you accept someone's offer of forgiveness, and you forgive others, and you have that going. So your relationships matter. I really don't appreciate this verse. The power of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. But then you also see in another passage is the idea that if your relationship with your spouse is not right, it affects your prayer life. So you want a powerful prayer life? Make sure your relationships with other people are right. As much as you have power on that. What they do is what they do, but on your side, make sure it's right. You see, you don't do this alone. So your relationships, your motives count, why you're doing this. You don't want your prayers answered so you can get glory, so you can get recognized, so you have more stuff, or people look at your life and go, wow, that's great. You know, it's not about that, but your motives do count. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. You may spend what you get on your pleasures. Again, last week, the week before, we talked about there's nothing wrong with enjoying God's gifts to you. Actually, he wants you to enjoy it. But if it's all about you and what you want and you have, and that's what you're praying about, you're off the tracks. I shared this before. Sometimes I used to pray that the girls would behave well, that they would do well in school, that they would, you know, marry the right person, all this kind of stuff. And I realized some of that request was just so that their life would be better and would be less messy, so I wouldn't have to go in and pick up the pieces. That is an extremely selfish prayer. Why, girls, Lord, help the girls be well-behaved, help the girls. Why? So you don't have to mess with the results of them messing up. That's not about them being better people, being better Christ followers. It's about me having an easier ride. It's, you know, motives are right. Are your motives right? I don't think we always get this perfect. I'm hoping for 90% of my motives. So if I'm in a situation, I'm hoping of 90% is for the right reason, and every once in a while a little bit of bad slides in there, but it's mostly good. So because we're not perfect. And so again, your motives, they do count. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Again, back to our spiritual habits. That's why you need someone who's accountable. That's why you need someone to be able to go, I don't know about that, Dave. I don't know about that. You need somebody like that in your life. So prayer, anything, everything, all these things that we want our prayers to reflect happening in our lives. We need to realize that prayer isn't about me getting recognized. It's about God being recognized. Think on that. Prayer isn't about me getting recognized and getting my own way. It's about God's way. Isn't that what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but your will. It was about him. It was about God. So prayer isn't about even getting God to notice me, because God has already noticed you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. There's all these kinds of things. He knows everything about you. It's about God being recognized in the way you live. That's what's imperfect about creation, the sin and all of that stuff. So it's about God being recognized. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Father, we thank you for the gift of talking to you. And we're thankful that your hand gets moved when we talk to you, that you show up and do stuff. Father, I would ask that we would be having a growing relationship with you, so that when we ask, we're asking in alignment with what you would really have happen. Help these prayers, help my prayers not to be selfish prayers, but you-centered prayers. And Lord, I pray for the person that doesn't know you. Would today be the day they say yes?